So I have a basic roadmap, as they called it in my English classes, of what we need to go over today. We have mission statement recap, which I have not put much work into at all, that I think should both cover the goals that we're hoping to achieve and the things that we need to avoid in this space. And then we need to go over logistics, so the resources that we need, people, money, time, and space. As far as people go, we need to figure out a healthy number to start with, that has rent balancing out, chore list, what
what's for chore list?
Rent? Like, okay. how we're gonna pay rent is the next most important thing after having a fulfilling experience. Perhaps more important than having a fulfilling experience at points. We also need to worry about what disciplines we want to cover, balancing out members with visitors as far as monetary stuff and also a healthy space. And we can go over this slowly, obviously, after we've kind of figured out where we're going. As far as money goes, membership fees, drop-in costs, grants, donations, and possibly getting income revenue from classes and presentations. If we have artists in the space, then maybe having a gallery fee sort of thing, if they sell pieces. As far as time goes, we need a time frame for setup, the length of the lease we're looking for, and access time / open house scheduling, and just scheduling in general. The scheduling of the timeline of setting up the space, as well as scheduling people in the space.
When I was thinking of scheduling, I was thinking of, when do we visit, this is when we visit groups, and then this is when we're collecting money, and this is when we
That's a good point.
This is when we want to be moved in.
Okay.
I mean, not to be too advanced about the times, but...
It's good. And then as far as space goes, what resources we need, so like we'll obviously need couches and chairs and workbenches and stuff, the tools that we would like, that sort of thing, what sort of space we need to start off with, zoning issues, because we're obviously covering a lot of different stuff, and what neighborhood we would like it to be in, which we've already talked about a little bit, access, like the number of keys, who's going to be there when, the type of access we'll have, stuff like that, and how to regulate that. We might need to worry about insurance.
Yeah.
Not just renter's insurance sort of thing, but also...
liability.
Yeah, if someone... no matter how well-intentioned people are, if you cut off a finger and you don't have the means to pay for it, it's good to have insurance. Set up for sharing things. And then the types of areas that we would like to have in it. So far we've covered like a kitchen, which we need to balance out, having it for projects and for culinary presentations and that sort of thing, but also there are going to be people in the space that are just going to want to have a bowl of cereal and cook and stuff. And so we have to worry about health regulations and how to have that be respected, stuff like that. Because you don't just want people coming into your kitchen and messing it up and assuming that you're going to clean it up because it's the space that you hold dearest. Workbenches and tables would be good with lots of outlets because you can do just about anything on there. You can sew on workbenches. You can use tech on workbenches, et cetera, et cetera. A gathering space, art studio, whatever people want to do in that space, and physical space. I would like it if I could go play and jump on things every once in a while, and an open space that could be used for that could also be used for an art studio if no one's working in there, or could be used as, like, we can mix and match spaces, basically. So, those are the beginning ideas. Does anyone want to add to those?
We need to figure out what kind of organization we're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The idea is some of the members would be businesses. I guess we'd be our own sole proprietor.
Maybe a management heading.
What did you say?
Management. Tied in with the kind of organization we are.
There is supposedly going to be a presentation on legally being an organization at Tour Camp, which will be at the beginning of July, so I might be able to have more feedback on that when I come back from that.
Okay.
The PNWPA also has a lot of experience trying to incorporate themselves as a nonprofit in the state of Washington, so I'll consider talking to them.
Okay.
I did a little bit of research on grants. And
on what? Grants?
And it looks like there are grants for artists, individual artists, but they're usually very small and they're pretty specific for a particular project. And there are also grants for organizations, and many of them are not, they're more open-ended. And it appears that there will be a lot more grants available if we could be a nonprofit organization with tax-exempt status. So we'll need to research how to obtain such a status. And I guess my big question is, can a bunch of individuals who are sole proprietors form a nonprofit organization collectively? How does that work?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we can all have our own.
Look at the Northwest Film Forums.
Okay. Yeah.
It operates as a nonprofit, but and they're at the point where people will come in with their for-profit, with their films, and be able to get a whole lot of benefits from working through them.
Okay.
Even though the films may then go out in for-profit distributions. Because the mission of the Northwest Film Forum and the services they provide fall under the nonprofit banner.
I see. Okay, so we'll need to figure out how to separate.
Yeah. That's a lot of work right there, that. So we'll have to figure that out. And that, I think, comes with balancing out when we figure out rent and membership dues and stuff like that. I think that there should be a baseline that everyone is required to pay, but on top of that, you can either pay more cash or dedicate more time. And depending on how people value what's going into it, but the base, the minimum amount has to cover rent, and anything on top of that that people pay into will either fund improvement on the space or will just add padding in case we can't make rent sometime, stuff like that. But otherwise, you're adding to the space through tools or through your labor or something like that.
You're saying, you're talking about how much money a person who's participating puts in a month?
Right.
$200 a month?
Right, for easy math. There are five of us here. Say rent on a space is $500. We each have to throw in $100 a month, period. And then, but the requested amount is $150 a month. That way, if you can pay more, then it's padding for another month, or it's to fix a faucet, or it's labor that you're putting in, or hey, I built this table that we can work on, and group values it at X number of dollars.
Or frankly, it's to pay the salary of the person who is, if we're a nonprofit, constantly out there writing grants to bring more money in.
Or the person writing the grants, that could be their contribution.
Yeah, that's their hours that they're putting in. So, I mean, that's a lot of logistics.
On that, once we get into that realm, depending on the scale we're trying to get into, we should be prepared to be looking at hiring someone if we're going in a nonprofit, relying on grants direction.
Let's start then at what is what's a good base number to start with? What's reasonable? A lot of people have expressed interest, but I think a lot of people will just prefer to have a drop-in method. What's a good number of people as a core?
When we're talking a core who would have an ongoing financial commitment.
Right.
We would all sign on the lease.
Right.
How many people sit around a table.
Okay, you think eight?
It's a manageable conversation.
Well, an odd number would be good for breaking ties.
Yeah. I think maybe nine, actually, because I think that's a manageable number while still lessening the financial blow a little bit more.
Right.
We're talking, I think we're talking about two different pieces. We're talking about the number of people who are specifically involved in poor financial capacity with supporting the space. And we're also talking about, as a separate notion,
I would speak up for the microphone's benefit.
I see. We're also talking about a separate notion that isn't the same thing, the number of people involved in the management of the space. And that's where I would say anything more than five starts to become a major challenge. Unless there are very, very specific rules, bylaws, and mechanisms in place for managing a group larger than five. When you get larger than five and you're dealing with difficult business management decisions, it becomes exponentially harder. And you're absolutely right, it's crucial to keep an odd number.
I think that, I would hope that we would have basic bylaws and checks and balances put in place before we actually get a space.
Right.
John had said something like, the more people you have, you know, the less financial blow it's going to be, and so the easier it is on everyone, but I don't feel like herding that many cats.
And that's where separating the question of how many people are making a financial commitment and how many people are committing making a management commitment.
The vast majority of people are not going to want to come to meetings and participate.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like pulling teeth to get people involved. Yeah. I never perceived that to be the problem.
Well, how about this idea then? There are. Okay, so there are some spaces in Seattle right now that already exist that are not being used all the time. I wonder if trying to get in on one of those just as a start to see how people interact with, hey, we're responsible for this portion of it, and these are our points of access time, stuff like that, if that might be possible, or if getting a smaller space that does not have the separate areas but can be used for all these things, so that it's like a studio apartment with a nice kitchen. So it's $800 a month, but if you have seven people that are on your board, that's still only $100 and something a month. Do those seem like good starting points?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would. To me, it's a lot of effort to get the small space. I would want to go faster. I would want to go to something more than just a test location.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding. So is the intention to test our procedures and get everything established on a small scale?
Yeah.
When we did Saturday House, we went straight to a three-room location in Soto. That was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And we paid for it out of donations. I mean, it sounds really flimsy, and I guess it was in some ways, but it worked.
Well,
hello, how's it going? This is Janine.
Hello, Janine.
Hi, everybody.
This is Lion, and Rob, and Ben.
Hi, Lion, Rob, and Ben.
Respectfully.
There is a question.
So, how crucial is it that the space we're in define the function and mission of the group? Because, and I'm not asking that with a particular answer in mind, because in one sense the space really does make a huge difference, but in another, as we talked about last time, we do want to have scalability, we want to have the ability to grow, and how we answer those questions may determine, to some extent, the importance or lack thereof of the size of the place to start.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about how the difference in monetary commitment on a commercial space as opposed to a residential space? Like, is this something that we would want to do in a residential space? And if we find it in Ballard or something, that it's or near the warehouses of Ballard, that it will be cheaper than renting a residential space of the same size? Like, I don't know.
I think it's usually cheaper.
Maybe completely off topic because I just kind of realized. But have you guys thought about maybe attaining nonprofit status since this is such a community oriented
yes.
thing? And that way people would grant you the warehouse space because that's what we're doing right now. Completely.
That's
because
they
can write it all.
What's your organization?
We jump all the time. Pacific Northwest Parkour Association. Basically, we're dedicated to athletic movement, so we need a lot of space as well in order to conduct classes.
Yeah.
Probably relatively the same amount or smaller space. Mm-hmm. Than
But you get it for free?
Yeah, people will donate space, especially since it's so difficult to develop right now in this market. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have empty warehouses sitting around that are costing them money in taxes every year. So if they donate it to a nonprofit, they get to write it off. So they pretty much make money while helping you out, us out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Interesting.
Fantastic,
okay.
Right? And since I'm already looking into that for our nonprofit, I could just pretty much put that on the list of things to do.
That would be awesome.
Sweet. Okay. Just one idea,
everybody. What would be really cool is if we could get in the same area.
So fantastic.
Because I was saying that I want an area in it that you could play around in when you're like, I've been working for too long, I need
yeah.
to go run around.
A juggle room or like
yeah.
Room.
Yeah.
I was wondering if parkour was going to be one of the disciplines that, I mean, probably not practical inside
yes.
space,
yes.
but...
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. I mean, that would be a dream come true
it's
for
a
me.
Lot of problems, right?
Yeah.
And because it's looking relatively realistic for us.
Okay,
so.
And we're also talking about like having a kitchen as a main thing and stuff like that. And so if we're cooking and everybody else is playing and then there's even more community.
Well, what is your group's nonprofit status currently?
Padawan Sea.
Okay.
Isn't that the only one?
And how narrow is your mission?
It's actually rather broad.
Okay.
Let me actually look up our mission and statement.
Oh yeah, there's like churches and I just remembered the whole class page. 501c3 I just wanted.
Because again, another thing that we do a lot in the film community is find nonprofits willing to operate as umbrella organizations, especially when starting up, and that saves a huge amount of hassle in legal and organizational processes.
And they can give you bank accounts
and
stuff
like
that.
It gives you institutional support while also giving you a lot of freedom to build and work and find a model
mm-hmm.
that is sustainable.
I think that would be a lot of fun. Like, personally, I think that would be a lot of fun. But right now, our nonprofit is so many different branches going everywhere and so few employees that, like, I don't think it'd work. But I definitely will bring it up.
Yeah. And there are many other nonprofits in town as well. So, I'm more piggybacking off the notion that, especially when starting out, instead of reinventing the wheel, finding someone else to be a training wheel can be
helpful. Use a space that you found, you would have to be registered as a 501c3 or
well, in order for people to write the rent off of their own taxes,
yep.
which is going to be the driving force, yeah, you have to be. Okay,
so our goal then is to be a 501c3.
Whether it's falling under 501c3 or creating our own,
yep.
debt,
okay.
Definitely
okay.
creating our own is going to be at least a 6-month process.
And lots of liquid fees.
Yeah.
I forget.
Also, you can get someone to donate.
I wonder if we could just use Saturday House. I forget what our status is right now. I wasn't part of those conversations, so I'll find out.
Okay.
And it's possible that we could just use whatever organization Saturday House is. We have a bank account.
Okay.
So there's like $30 in it or something like that. But, and I forget what I would want to check out. I know that when you have these things, you're supposed to have monthly meetings, and we definitely have not had monthly meetings, so I wouldn't know.
Does it have to be in person, or can you do it over?
They have to be in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Word.
Cool. All right. I know there's a lot more that goes on in that area, but I kind of want to
sure.
keep moving.
Okay. Before we do, then, are we specifically planning as an action item then to look at
nonprofits
and an existing ones as well as starting our own?
Yes.
And who in particular is going to be following up on that?
Yeah, good question. I'll do a bit of research on that. I know I haven't been able to devote as much time as I planned, but I will make every effort.
Okay.
And I'll talk to Janine about the possibility of...
Yeah. I already have a
quote
mentor, so I can
Thank you.
Awesome.
I'll talk with Robert Eichmann about Saturday House status and about... he's filled out corporation papers before.
Okay.
So, I'll ask him.
Cool.
I'll ask him about that.
I know a few attorneys. I have a couple favors I can call in.
But none of us have... Okay, so we'll do all this and then we'll get back together when will we talk about this next?
Is everybody okay with meeting slightly before the next meeting or staying after a little bit?
Sure.
It's Friday with me?
No. The next
Monday. Meeting is marketing, right?
Is what?
The marketing?
Yes.
We talk about approaching groups. So we can do it at the end of the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did Friday come in?
Friday is the next H plus meeting.
Oh.
This upcoming Friday.
I'm going to be there.
I'm talking about urban sustainability. I'm really excited.
I'm going to my daughter's math relative.
That's fucking awesome.
I'm not going to be here.
I got it.
I might have to try to drag you away afterward for free food.
No, there are pints after. I will not leave for anything else. All right. But you can come out for pints.
No, I'm doing Rita's birthday party.
Oh, okay. Maybe I won't come out then. No. Okay, anyway. All right, so let's go back to the healthy number of people who are doing this. If we are not going to be so worried about rent, I'm just going to relax a little bit on that. And then I think that 7 is a good core number of people.
Okay. And okay. You want 5.
No.
5 for managing.
Specifically saying more than 5 for management begins to get unwieldy, especially before processes are established.
Yeah.
What falls under management?
Yeah.
Who's responsible for making the decisions that, on a macro scale, affect the ongoing operations of the group?
So non-managers are just people who are working on projects.
Right.
Making sure payments are in on time.
Right.
Making sure space allocation.
What's our budget? Where are we going to be spending it on? What's the outreach? Basically, where does the buck stop?
Okay. I am personally going to aim for 7, just because I wanted to have a very communal feel, and so I feel like if there are more people that would be spread out a little bit more, if it's...
7 for management or 7 for core members?
And simple voting is the mechanism for deciding things.
Yeah.
Or you could say... Well,
I'm also citing 5 as a max for management.
Okay.
Okay.
With still full intention of transparency and members attending meetings, but just...
So 5 managers and 9 original rent payers. Is that...
I can live with that. Yes, that's good. Yes. Let's do that.
And this is not necessarily hard and fast.
Right.
It's just the...
Right.
Five members for management, and then 9 people for the core members. And they don't necessarily, that group of 5 doesn't have to be in the group of 9 completely.
Right.
Those Venn diagrams can overlap, they don't have to be the same circle.
If you're looking at a crossover into a nonprofit, technically your 5 would be your board, and everybody else would be a rep, which is great.
Yep.
Okay.
The nine would be the what?
Beg your pardon?
The 9 would be...
Or the 7, or whoever else came onto it. Could be members of your nonprofit, they could pay dues, they could be representatives, or like any other number of...
Alright, and I'm not going to get into the figuring out the chore stuff. We'll figure that out when we get there. What do we want to do as far as disciplines, like, that are people that are interested in things? Do we just want to take who's ever interested? Do we want to...
It may depend to some degree on the space we find. Like, if we find a space that has very poor ventilation to start, we probably don't want to be inviting in people who are working with lots of toxic chemicals.
Right. My thought was, the reason why I want to hammer out the list of disciplines is because some, like filmmaking and photography, don't really require any special facilities, but some do. Mm-hmm. And if we determine ahead of time what particular facilities we're going to need, then we find the space to mm-hmm. accommodate what we need. So I just come up with a list, and maybe some of these are not things that we would necessarily want to have on there, if anyone wants to add any. Let's see, cooking, filmmaking, music and recording, electronics, meditation is something that you mentioned, like a quiet room, photography, fine arts, which could encompass many things. I don't know if painting would count as something where we would want aromas to...
Depends on the space.
Right, depends on the space. You mentioned stonework. Ideas, of course, that's one that doesn't... I don't know if that's really even a discipline or if everyone should be expected to contribute.
I think that would just be
in general.
That would just be in common space, I think.
See, writing, again, that's not specific. Tailoring, I know we have at least one tailor in the H Plus group. I don't know if Thomas, I don't know if you would... Just something to throw out there. I don't know what kind of facilities that would require. Gardening, obviously. Well, you can do an indoor garden and not...
There's a great article in the latest Make magazine on...
Politics.
Huh?
Politics. And rhetoric. Science.
Mm-hmm.
Tinkering.
Very broad. Tinkering. Acrobatics. Acrobatics slash clowns.
So it may come down to
business.
What disciplines don't we want?
Yeah.
Because
I feel like it's kind of like your answer fandom, you know, is disciplines. You want disciplines.
Yeah.
Well, then do we get into... I think in order to not have one thing be preferred over others, it will just be having a certain space. And if you have a lot of photographers, they're going to hash it out over that space. Is that... So, I worry about having the direction of the space be determined by, like, if you have a whole lot of photographers that want to participate, then still having a set, tangible amount of space that's dedicated to them so that they have to hash that out. Like, does that make sense?
Maybe
yeah, so it doesn't make sense to talk to the studio with
other
people
on the side.
Yeah.
I would
try to make the places as malleable as possible.
Okay.
I would try and make everything so that...
But set up in a way so that if suddenly you're overrun with the majority of photographers, the individuals who are doing other things continue to have their space to pursue what they want.
Definitely be like workshop spaces.
Right.
Okay.
So
maintaining
a variety and balance.
Go ahead. My thought is we brainstorm a long list of disciplines that we might potentially support. There's certain ones that don't require a particular facility, like filmmaking is just done on a laptop.
Well,
or much of photography or writing, for example. And those would be, those are the things, well, there's certain things that we'll be able to support regardless of the space. And there's certain things like, cooking would require a kitchen, and that would be something that if we were to have, we would have to have a facility for it. Or if we had a dark room, we'd need to have the chemicals.
Yeah.
So, and then once we determine who the members are, and if anyone has something that would be that requires that person to participate, then that would to a degree dictate whether that person would be part of the core members or not. And as far as I go, we don't get a health code compliant kitchen beforehand, I'm sure I can find some other things that would be useful for me to do. I'm not going to make that a deal breaker as far as I'm going. And I understand that there are other members who want the kitchen as well. So
can you figure out what you need for it to be health code compliant?
I can do that.
Okay.
I can do that.
Thank
this
you.
This is such a horrible thing.
We might be limited by insurance if this becomes an official deal. Like, not just a community, but something that is marketed to the community, like on, I don't know, performances or whatever it may be, to fit into the same space under the same insurance stuff is going to be like amazingly different.
Yeah.
Amazingly different. So that might play a factor in limiting what is
practical. Why do you say that?
Well,
I thought the same thing. I went to Bucket Works and I said, did the insurance people blow a gasket when they saw this place because they were doing everything? And they said, actually, no, there's not much they haven't seen. And they said, insurance wasn't very expensive.
That's great.
So, I originally thought, oh gosh, this would be an insurance nightmare. But when I asked, so maybe Milwaukee's different than Washington.
Yeah, and I also wonder how good their insurance coverage is. Because, no, I'm serious, because so much of insurance is like, well, this instance isn't covered in this instance and this instance and this instance. And while they say we'll cover this wide range of activity, it's there are so many hems and haws in there that you end up like, well, if someone...
I
wonder really
if they
accident.
Need a Burning Man waiver. You may die.
Goes. Yeah, just a thought. And if there's any way for you to contact us, so we get to know who's providing their insurance.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Another thing just to be aware of, and it might be worth having a conversation with Jeff Hinkst actually, is just the major, major requirements that the city will have if we open up certain areas to the public. Like if we're talking about we're talking about a regulation kitchen. If there's any thought at all about using that to serve food to the public, all of a sudden the codes and things we have to meet are, especially in this city, a major challenge. So just doing some research there and being aware of where we have a lot of flexibility and where it's wise not to extend too far so that we don't have to install 12 sinks.
Yeah. Okay. Going on to... time. What sort of time frame do we want for this? Do we want do we want to try to aim to have this up and running in the fall? Do we want to aim for 2 months? I mean,
I think it largely depends on whether or not we want to be a nonprofit before or after we establish ourselves in a space. Mm-hmm. Because if we want to become a nonprofit so we can get warehouse space for free, like Janine was saying earlier, then we have to devote a large majority of our time to doing that, because I know how long it took with the BNWPA, and I wasn't even involved in the process. But I know it was a very joyous occasion when you guys were finally incorporated. And you're like, holy crap, we actually did this. So we have to make that decision before we start dealing with spaces.
Okay.
And I don't know, it might be something you might want to devote a whole meeting to, because that is a very large topic and will require a lot of people hours.
Okay. And let's invite someone who knows what they're talking about. Where they're at. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, alright. Yeah. You know, it's all done. Okay.
Okay. Are you willing to do that?
I cannot promise that I will get it done quickly, but yes.
Okay. Would you be willing to give me some guidance?
I would love to work with you.
Okay, cool.
You might be able to tell us, like, you know, fill out this paper and get back to me.
Are you guys, are we certain that we'd like to go that route?
I think that is probably the best route.
I think that's the best way to educate the public with all of these different wondrous things that you have to do and get involved in the community. Like, that would be fantastic.
And also to have the financial support.
Yeah, it would be ideal if we found a nonprofit that we could slip in underneath. Some kind of educational.
Okay. Wait, so, would you be willing to meet with Lion and myself and whoever has been most recent on Saturday House stuff to see if we can go that route?
And there might be some other group in the area.
Okay.
I wonder, is it normal for this kind of thing to be under another umbrella org for a while and then become its own thing?
Yeah, definitely.
It might be a good interim measure while we're figuring out how we get money paid and stuff like that. And then after that, we could.
Okay.
We should only go either that way or that. I have no idea what we're doing. Let's just try it anyway.
Okay, so let's have a nonprofit meeting at some point. We'll set that up later. Okay. Thank
you. Will you set it up?
I will set it up.
Okay.
Yes. I will add the note that is my task. I'll add it to the list. okay. Also, I think as far as scheduling, like getting membership dues and stuff like that, if people are just dropping in, we need to have a system, which I love spreadsheets. I'm happy to set that up. Like, you visited on this day, etc. This is your donation amount. I will totally help you on spreadsheets if you ever need it.
Mindbody.
Huh?
We'll talk later. There's a system called Mindbody, which you will love. Which
okay.
Does that kind of thing. Very sweet. Well.
Okay. Cool. so I think that doing a monthly thing of membership dues, if you're a member, whatever that, if we're doing the tiers of different access or whatever, then monthly is good. If it's just a drop-in thing, then that's when you drop in. I mean, if you want to rent the space, I think just as it happens is when people pay for it. If you want to reserve a space, you pay for it when you reserve it. If you want to just show up and if there's a space for you, you pay for it then that's...
We can ask people to help us get started. We can say we're renting this space and approach them to get starting funds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Donations. I mean, some people will donate big and consistently.
Yeah.
There's actually websites out there specifically for that kind of thing where you put up your idea.
Oh, yeah, like fundable. Yeah.
And then they just
click
donate now.
Like,
oh, yeah,
we have
money.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we already covered a lot of this. Let's talk a little bit about access and how we're going to regulate that. Do you think that core members have keys? And you try to make sure that there's a core member available most of the time within reasonable hours, and then as it grows, have access cards where you know who's going in and out and how long they were there for and stuff like that? Or do you want to start immediately with access cards? I worry about insurance and liability, if just anyone can have a key card and get in, but I don't know.
I'll bet there will be someone who's going to be there a lot.
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to be there a lot. I would try and minimize the number of keys.
Okay.
And then I would distribute it more by utility than by, like who lives nearby, who's there all the time. That's how I would distribute the keys, rather than membership or...
Well, obviously members could have keys, but then people who are around a lot and are trustworthy, but I don't see why they would not be members as well.
I'm just remembering that at Saturday House, one of the guys we keep was, he didn't contribute much monetarily, but he was always there. He just always was there. So we just gave him a key and it worked perfectly. He lived nearby, so.
So it could be somebody like Art.
Yeah.
Who doesn't necessarily contribute a lot to the Little Red Studio, but he's there all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's what Lion's talking about. It's somebody who doesn't necessarily, isn't necessarily a member, because I can't afford to, but lives nearby and spends a lot of time. It could be part of the contribution.
Okay.
Allocation by utility.
I think that makes sense.
I don't know, I'm kind of wondering whether anyone would be a dues-paying member and not want to at least be able to people come in and pick up something of theirs.
Yeah, oh no, I mean, like, this is in addition to members having keys.
Okay, so the nine or however many core members will have keys, and then beyond that, we...
If there are nine, can they be called the Nazgul? I got excited.
This will simplify a lot of things. That is definitely an ideal, but there's an athletic co-op that I know in DC that has a crazy guy who lives upstairs, kind of like the gym minder, and he's always there, and like he just knocks and rings and he comes down. 2 a.m, he's there to let you in.
Nice.
It's kind of crazy. So if somebody lived nearby,
yeah,
the closest person to,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. That's one thing that kind of scares me, but is also awesome. Well, it doesn't scare me, but I don't see it as the ideal in this case. But, like, Hackerbot has someone who lives there, which means that, yeah, anytime they're around, you can get in. So, yeah. I like robots. I'm sure we could make that one.
We just have a box inside that controls the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can make things. That's what we do.
Okay. Well, I think we covered everything that I was worried about.
So let's set a goal. Having our organization stuff worked out. Our legal status, our strategy worked out within 3 weeks. Because that's the primary limit, right? The thing before we start getting space and stuff like that is figuring out, okay, what are we corporate, right?
Yeah.
Are we FP, and how long will that paperwork take, and stuff like that. All the scheduling starts from there, right? That's sort of day one on the schedule, right?
Yeah. Let me pull up Google Calendar really quick. And I promise not to cry. Yeah, look at my schedule.
While Willow's doing that, could someone give me the 30-second synopsis of what's been decided while I was not here?
We talked about access.
Okay.
We think that the core members should have keys, and then we're pretty much fiddling with the rest of the community.
Okay.
Ideally, there would be someone who lived nearby, or someone who came there all the time, you know, often, and relied that would be give the key, an extra key to.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
In addition to the core members.
That makes sense. Just for managing logistics.
So who we trust?
I also don't have a good place to toss this out there, but just wanted it to be floating in the ether that if this does move forward and becomes feasible for me to bring in the film gear, my preference would be to set up, because I have a full high-definition 2K editing suite that can do everything, and my preference would be to, it's nice, would be to set that up in a way, because I don't use it all the time, and it should be used all the time, that it was part of the open access and one of the resources that was offered to people who basically qualified to be able to use it. So.
Yeah, I think that there will be a lot of keys until we get to the point that we can either use door codes or cards. So I think that's something that maybe Barrett should take the lead on. Cool.
At my daughter's school, they had a kid-run school. They had they called it the certification system.
Right.
If there's any piece of equipment, the kids themselves decided what the cert requirements were.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, this is a drone, here's what to do, here's not what not to do.
Right.
This is an expensive piece of equipment, you know, this is a computer, don't bring food by it.
Yeah.
And then you were certified, you know, after whatever the union norms were
right
to, and you demonstrated that you didn't understand them.
I think that's a fabulous note to toss into the plan.
how do we feel about doing a meeting or like a follow-up on nonprofit after the meeting on Monday the 29th? So that's the last meeting we have.
What was that one?
That's the money and real estate space. Actually, it might be better to do it instead of that and then shift that meeting down.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
That's the NFP discussion, right? Not for profit.
Right.
Okay. But I'll know Friday.
Okay.
Whether or not I will be. And that class is major.
Okay, well, if it can't be that day, when should we do it?
I've got my Mondays open for the proceedings.
Okay.
It's really important that you're in bed, I think, so.
Yep.
What's a good day? I want to block it out now before.
Yeah. Janine also cries at her calendar.
Oh, I want to block out both times.
Don't we all?
That only one of them.
Never.
Do you want to do it on the 23rd?
Of June?
Yes. Tuesday the 23rd?
Yes.
Okay. Can we either do it before can we do it before parkour so I can still go to class?
I can't do it anytime before 6:05.
Okay.
Tuesday, Saturday is kind of.
Okay, let's do it.
This is why I'm doing this.
We will never see each other.
Okay, I'm going to take class on Saturday, and so let's go for 7 on the 23rd for nonprofit.
Okay,
cool.
Wait, did you say the 23rd?
Does that work?
Yes.
That's the day that you might know. Well, wait.
I'm going to
punk
out
this other thing.
Okay.
Sacrifices, guys.
I will make it
and when we get this space, we will see each other all the time. Because we're going to do everything there.
Trio playing
there.
Nice. Which, in some way, would be the fastest place to come.
Yes.
At the first one.
Yes.
NFP gathering.
Yes.
7 o'clock.
Yes, 7 to 8:30. Okay. Hopefully it won't take us that long.
6:30 is a hard time for me.
Yeah, let's do 7. Where do we want to meet? Here? Okay.
I like it.
Okay, Remedy Tees it is.
Has anyone else had trouble creating appointments in the Google Calendar intermittently over the last week? Or it says, oops, couldn't create this?
No.
They've been upgrading their calendar in major ways over the last week.
They have?
Back end, yeah.
Okay.
Take care. Yeah.
So I've been using it for, I don't know, a year or two, and I've never had any trouble in the last week of getting this.
Take a look, you probably have tasks now.
Okay.
Brain hurts. Okay. Cool, and then we'll have at least a vague idea of how to set up on money and real estate stuff. Okay.
Cool. I found this place in Capitol Hill. $1,200 for 1,000 square feet. It's not that huge.
1,000 square feet. Is that about, like, from that post to that corner? Or?
Yeah, it's about a little bigger.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. We should be able to get it for under $1 a square foot.
Under $1?
We should be.
Yeah. Okay. I did not find such.
I know, they're mythical spaces.
Okay.
They do exist. It takes a while.
They just may not be on Craigslist.
Okay, on Craigslist, I spent like $1 to $1.50.
I'm actually lucky enough to be working with some commercial real estate agents. And that's the only way.
All right.
So, well done, you. Travis and Park has some great open airplane hangars.
Oh, that's nice. It's a beautiful neighborhood.
Gigantic spaces.
Yeah. Alright, so I need to chat with you at some point because I've been tasked to do a lot of this research before that meeting. So I should find out from you where I should be doing that research.
Awesome. Okay, is there anything else we want to cover today? Are we happy?
Well,
so my battery's about to die.
Okay, the what?
My battery's about to die.
Could we do a quick review of the specific decisions that we've made?
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm going to turn this off for that.